If you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6 tonight, we continue our study called Firm Foundation. Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 3 through 7, but I want to back up and start in verse 1. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with Him in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who is a slave, who has died has been freed from sin. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll bring these words alive tonight to us. I think so many times in my own life I fail to remember it's not my life anymore, it's Yours. It's not my desires anymore, they're Yours. But I can be so selfish sometimes. Lord, I need to live in the newness of a new life that You've given us. Dead to self and alive to You. Help us, Lord, because that's our toughest thing to do is to live and abide in You. And I just pray, Father, that as we look at this tonight, You'll just speak to our hearts and show us things we need to see by Your Holy Spirit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is very straightforward with his words, and he always, said things like they needed to be said. Much like James does. And he gets right to the point. And he doesn't, you know, pander to anyone and try to make anyone feel better about themselves. Because we don't need to feel good about ourselves. What we need to do is, like he says, be dead to self and alive to God. And so we're going to look at verse 3 one more time. And then we're going to look into it a little deeper. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Now, he's not talking about baptism in water. Baptism in water is the outward expression of what's already taken place inside of our heart. What he's talking about is baptized into Jesus. In other words, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, He becomes the new Lord. He moves in and takes over. He's in charge and we're not anymore. It's interesting that He still allows us, for whatever reason, to, you know, come along and make our own decisions and do what we want to do. But that's because we have not put self all the way to death. We just keep letting it raise its ugly head in our lives. But we have to realize we were baptized into Jesus Christ. In other words, we are now a part of the body of Jesus. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. We are a part of Him. And so there is an outward baptism. Hopefully everyone who comes to our church and is a part of our church and is a member of our church have been outwardly baptized as the picture of what's already taken place inside their heart. But then there's that inward baptism. And I think this is where we kind of struggle sometimes, because outwardly we can appear to look good. Outwardly we can talk about spiritual things. Outwardly we can, you know, go to Bible studies and prayer groups, and we can do all those things, but only God sees the heart. God knows exactly what's going on inside of each of us. And so we talk about an outward baptism where we proclaim that we believe in the One who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again. But the inward baptism is so critical because we have joined with Him. We are part of the body of Christ. And so we too must be changed on the inside and made brand new. It's really a picture of new ownership. Now, you probably bought something from someone else, and when you did that, they gave you a deed or a car title or whatever it was you were buying. Once you purchased it, they gave you the title or the deed to whatever it was you purchased. And what it did was, is it says it's now yours and not theirs any longer. And it would hold up in a court of law. In the same way, he is now the lien holder on us. He purchased us with his blood. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so what we tend to do, and this is just how I have to put it so I can recognize it in my own mind, what we tend to do is take the ownership back from him and say, well, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do right here. Now, could he stop us from doing that? Yes, he could. And sometimes he does. I think there's been many times in people's lives when they were just willingly going to disobey God and do what they wanted to do, and God put a stop to it. Physically, putting something in the way, bringing a different circumstance into their life, whatever it is. But he's the master. And see, the master means he's in control. He's Lord. And he chooses what we're supposed to do. He has laid out for us a path that he wants us to go. He is the Lord. We're not the Lord of our lives any longer. And not only do we have a new Lord, we have a new life itself. The Greek term here means placing into a new union. It's a species of being that has never existed before. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 really means. And I put it in the Amplified Version because I like how it says it. Therefore, anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior, he is a new creation, which is reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition that we were in, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings new life. You see, that's as literal as we can possibly put it in our English language. But the bottom line is this. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord, He gives us a new life. And it's not our life anymore. It's His life in us. It's like watching one of those shows of a total makeover. They come into a house that, man, it is in bad shape. And I mean, everything in it needs to be replaced and everything needs to be redone. And it's, well, my wife and I were watching one the other night of these people up in Maine that went to this house that was an old camp. And it was so grown up around it, you could hardly even see the house and all kinds of stuff. And they went in there, and of course, in an hour, they made that place an amazing, beautiful, exquisite place. Now, it took more than an hour, but within the hour of the show, it was pretty amazing. That's what God does to us. He comes in and He gets rid of all the junk and all the trash and all the things in our life. But that only happens as we allow Him to. I mean, we could say, "No, Lord, don't want to mess with that today. Don't want to hear that today. I don't want to do what you're saying right now," because we tend to be rebellious people. But the fact is that we are not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify Him in our mortal bodies. See, that's a total makeover. And Ephesians 2:1 tells us what we were, but what we're not any longer. We used to be like that. We used to be walking the ways of the world. We used to have the desires of those people who don't know God. But now, we are walking with Him, in Him, and living our life in Him. We are identified in His life, verse 3. And then verses 4 through 7 just pick up on that and kind of put some icing on top of this cake. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism, not this kind of baptism, baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let me just stop there for a moment and just put this little thing in. I was talking with somebody the other day and just sharing with him, just this concept basically of how we are to die to our old way of life in the same way that Jesus died. And they said, well, you know, if Jesus really died, he couldn't be alive again. And I said, really? So you're saying Lazarus, who died, couldn't be alive again when Jesus brought him out of the grave? And he said, well, that was different. Jesus had the power to do that. I said, well, Jesus has the power to do that. He has the power to raise from the grave. That's exactly what he can't do one thing and then not the other thing. We are identified with his life, and then we are separated from our old life. In other words, there should be a tearing away from all the old, a pulling away from what used to be alive. See, the reality of our death with Christ is so important for us to remember and to think about, because every day we have to reprogram this thing up here called self in our mind. We have to reprogram it to say, hey, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Who are you going to listen to today? Who are you going to follow today? Who's going to be Lord today? Are you going to jump in the driver's seat and say, Lord, move over, I'm in charge today? Or are you going to say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do today, that's what I want to do. The Scripture says, when we died when he died. In other words, our spirit died so that his spirit could then take up residence inside of us. The issue is this time frame thing that we live in. Because in the heavenlies, we're already seated in the heavenlies, the Scripture says, with God. We've already been forgiven, saved, cleansed, made new, perfect, and whole. That's the only way we could be in his presence. But see, we're living in a time zone that's not quite there yet. And so that in this time zone, we're still having to fight this battle every day, because this old body in us, this old spirit in us, keeps raising its ugly head in our lives. It's kind of like one of those spiders that you try to kill, and you've hit it 3 or 4 times, and it still keeps coming. Have you ever had one of those? Or we used to have scorpions where I live. And man, I tell you what, they got the tough armor on them, and you got to have something pretty big to kill one of them. And you can hit one of them, and they just keep coming, and you go, oh, wow, this is not good. I need to get out of the way. So anyway, that's the way we are. Even though we died eternally at that point to our old self, we're still trying to live in the midst of this life that we're in right now. But our spirit died so that his spirit could now live. Now here's the issue. There's always a battle that rages. Paul talks about that in the next chapter, in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And there's a battle that rages within me. And he says, woe is me. I am a wretched man. Now, how could Paul write these things by the inspiration of God, by his Holy Spirit in chapter 6, and then go on in chapter 7 and say those things? Because Paul knew exactly what we're like, what he was like, what we're like. That old self inside of us just keeps on trying to come back. It is obstinate. It is persistent. It is like you think you're never going to get control over it. You're never going to have dominion over yourself. But the secret to it all is realizing we can't do that, but he can, as we submit ourselves to him. He will not share his throne, by the way. Either he is your king or he's not. And so every time we decide that this is what we're going to do because we think this is a good thing or what we want to accomplish, what we're doing is trying to push God out of the throne of our life and say, Lord, I've got this one. I'm taking care of this. This is something I want to do. But according to spiritual walk, we died with Christ. And what were the results of our death? Well, the scripture said we were buried with him. Now, this is not a physical burying. Our lives that used to be selfish and in control and all those kinds of things, spiritually, were buried with him. And the reason we need to remember that is because burial is a signal that life is over. Dead. Dead. Dead all the way. You see, that's what we've got to remember, is that when we wake up every day, when we begin that day's life, when we are walking through that day, and all the things that are going to bombard us because they do, we have to remember we're dead to those things, but alive to Him. When I was a young pastor, youth pastor, used to take our kids to a big conference in Dallas called the Bill Gothard Basic Life Institute. And he was very, very knowledgeable on Scripture and just a great teacher. And the kids would listen to him because he had fascinating stories and examples all along the way. And this was one of them. He says, when the Scripture says that we are dead now to sin, towards sin, it's like a picture of a person who has already died. They're just a corpse. And if you brought them into a room and you tried to offer them something really good to eat that they probably shouldn't have because it's really fattening, or if you tried to give them a bunch of money or whatever else, what would they do? Nothing. Why? Because they're dead. And so Paul says, I have to liken myself unto that. I have to understand that my own will, in fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he reminds us that he's not his own anymore. He's been bought with a price. Therefore, he's going to glorify God in his mortal body. So then verses 6 and 7 talk about consecration to new life. See, the only way we can truly do this, and it's difficult, it's not impossible. If it was impossible, we wouldn't be asked to do these things. There are some days that we can actually do this and last the whole day and actually follow God and see at the end of the day that God has blessed in many different ways. But it comes from this word, consecration. Now, what does that mean? Consecration means a resolute attitude towards something. It means I choose to walk in a new way. I choose to listen to Him instead of listening to the admonitions of this world. We don't live like we used to, talk like we used to, or walk like we used to. We've made a choice to walk in a new path, in a new way. And that comes from different things in our life, and I've given us some scriptures to look at tonight just as a reminder. And these are things you can go through on a daily basis. Lord, my spirit needs to be your spirit. I need to get rid of my own personal desires. So Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Did we get that on there? I don't think I put it on there. Sorry. So I've got it right here, just a couple pages over. Chapter 8, verse 4, it says this. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully be met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. See, Paul says, we need to be living in the Spirit. The thing that throws us off track or gets us off of the way is by not living in the Spirit. That means my thoughts are His thoughts. My desires are His desires. I continually communicate with Him so that I can tell Him what's going on and He can tell me what should be going on. And it's a connection in Him that should not be severed. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 13, it talks about, I don't think I got any of those on there, did I? Okay, my bad. Sorry. You'll have to give me a terrible beating later. Let us behave decently, verse 13 says, as in the daytime, not in drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery, and not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to live in the Spirit, and we have to live in honesty. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, we'll look at that real quick. This is like the Bible drill. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. So it's just a reminder to us to live in the Spirit, live in honesty, and live by faith. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I used to do pretty good at these Bible things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So these things are ways, they're kind of like checkoffs in our life for our daily walk, that we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the truth, telling the truth all the time, being honest with people. We're walking by faith, realizing that it's not the path that we may or may not have laid out for ourselves, but that God is leading us and we're listening to Him and we're looking for signs that He wants us to follow. We're offering up the good works that He has for us to do. And that means looking around us and seeing opportunities for us to reach out and touch people. And how are we to do that? We are to reach out and touch people in love. And in all of that, we are covered with His wisdom and not our own. Can you say thank you for that, Lord? That's a new way of life. And that means I am consecrated to that kind of life. I am setting myself aside for a purpose and for a reason, and it is to walk in that kind of life. It's a new reason to live. It shifts our purpose away from self to Him. You see, we don't live for our own desires any longer. We've chosen to submit our wills and desires to Him. Now see, this is really basically a very short study tonight, but it's very full of all kinds of things that we need to be meditating on and listening to God on and asking God to help us in. And you could just take this one sheet of paper and put it somewhere that you see it regularly as a reminder to you that you can walk in the newness of life. You can walk in the Spirit. You can abide in Him. You can remember that we are dead to our sins and alive to Christ. You can remember that He then has a path laid out for us. And that path is there for us to walk down for His glory and not our own. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, because that's not an easy thing to do. In fact, it's super difficult, because our old self just keeps popping up and wanting to do what we want to do. And Lord, it's a constant battle. But one day, we won't have that battle any longer. One day, we'll be in Your presence forever. Lord, help us to live the new life, identified with You, separated from the old one, and consecrated unto You. Lord, help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.